Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. I am Linda Coletti, and I am a Prairie member. Prairie aspires to be both an open-hearted and open-minded congregation. We welcome people of every ethnic and religious background, whatever your color, sexual orientation, or family structure. We welcome you no matter what your age or your abilities or inabilities. Later in the service, we will invite visitors, guests, and returning friends to introduce yourselves so that we might get to know you better. On Sunday mornings, we provide a wide variety of services. They are presented either by a Prairie member, a member of the wider community, or by our minister, Sandy Ingram. This morning's presentation is by members of Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America. Rick is going to read the opening words.
From writings by Howard Zinn, to be hopeful in bad times is not just foolishly romantic. It is based on the fact that human history is a history not only of cruelty, but also of compassion, sacrifice, courage, and kindness. What we choose to emphasize in this complex history will determine our lives. If we see only the worst, it destroys our capacity to do something. If we remember those times and places, and there are so many, where people have acted magnificently, this gives us the energy to act, and at least the possibility of sending this spinning top of a world in a different direction. And if we do act, in however a small way, we don't have to wait for some grand utopian future. The future is an infinite succession of presents. And to live now as we think human beings should live, in defiance of all that is bad around us, is itself a marvelous victory.
Al and Eileen Nettleton are going to light our chalice this morning.
On this anniversary of our grievous loss, in this time of asking why, we light a flame of sharing. We light a flame of commitment. In this time of why, we light this flame, sign of our searching, sign of our sharing, sign that together we remember. Together we ask why. Together in sadness and joy, we share light. Together we celebrate what we are together.
Now I have the distinct honor of introducing our speakers for today. These are people I have come into contact with the last few years, and their dedication and their inspiration and determination have been, they've changed my life in many ways. So I am going to introduce Kelly, and then she is going to introduce Karee. So Kelly Herta is the chapter lead for Moms Demand Action of Wisconsin, and her responsibilities include point person for all internal communications and relationship with organizational manager. She manages and communicates regularly with all the volunteers and acts as a spokesperson for the chapter to the public and media. Kelly is the co-founder and senior partner at Prawn and Associates, a consulting firm that provides advocacy training, legislative strategy, grassroots organizing, public relations, and crisis management for nonprofits and corporate clients. So, without further ado, I welcome Kelly.
I just love her. A little bit more about me. I should tell why I'm involved with Moms Demand Action. I'm the mother of three daughters, and I fear for their safety every time they leave my home. The gun violence in Milwaukee is terrifying and only minutes from our neighborhood. But it wasn't until after Sandy Hook that I decided I couldn't sit at home and allow this to continue. I wanted to be proactive in this fight. I didn't want to wait until my loved ones became victims of gun violence. I wanted to be involved now. So a little over 2 years ago, I joined Moms Demand Action, went to a coffee, chatted it up with the ladies. A couple days later, they asked if I'd be their legislative lead for the state of Wisconsin. And I said, sure. And 2 months after that, they said, would you take over the state? And I'm like, okay. And it was the best move I ever made. So that's how I got involved. That's my action item. That's how I fight gun violence, is working for moms as a volunteer. But now I want to talk about why we're all here today. Over 100 events are going on like this across the country. Yesterday, they marched in Anchorage, Alaska, in Orange. So in the snow, no doubt. So we are marking the third anniversary of Sandy Hook and to remember all victims of gun violence. We wear the orange as a symbol, as hunters would wear orange as a symbol when they're hunting, not to be shot at. So this is the gun violence prevention color for all of us. The gun lobby would like the world to think that we're part of a small group, but we're not. We represent the majority of Americans who believe America can do better. Not only are we in the majority, but we show up. And today, we need to make sure you're seen and counted. Now, I know you want to take action to put a stop to the gun violence, and your first action item is right now. So, I'm going to ask you to stand up and be counted. I need you to pull out your cell phones, if you have a cell phone, and we're going to text the word orange to the number 64433. Okay, so let's pull out our phones, and I'll say that again for you so you can get ready. Stand up and do it, sit down and do it, however you want to do it, but stand up and be counted. What's going to happen is when we send out this text, you'll be prompted to put your zip code in and your name. By entering that, not only are you being counted as being at this event, but we know who your legislators are based on your name and zip code. And that helps us show them just how many people in their own district. Yes, ready? 64433 and text the word orange. You should be prompted then to enter. They'll come back and ask you, I believe, for your name and your zip code, okay? So once we do that, and again, this also tells your legislators, by having your zip code, we know who your representatives are. And we count those numbers as people, volunteers with Moms Demand Action, who want common sense gun laws, and we can show these numbers to them. And numbers are important. 64433. And you should be prompted to enter your zip code and name. Is anyone having trouble getting through on that number? Corrie, are you able to do it?
Well, I've already done it, yeah.
Do it again. I don't have a cell phone. Okay, that's okay. We have sign-in sheets outside the door. So if you don't have a cell phone and you want to be counted as a person who'd like to see common sense gun laws passed, like universal background checks, then you should sign that. Okay? How are we doing? Everybody ready to move on?
Yeah.
Okay. Keep going. Keep going. That's okay. I can speak while you text. I won't think you're being rude. Okay. So 3 years ago, as we lit the candle, our country was shocked and heartbroken when gun violence ripped through the halls of Sandy Hook Elementary School, taking the lives of 20 precious children and 6 brave educators. Since that day, every day, 88 Americans have been killed by gun violence, and hundreds more have been injured. Less than 2 weeks ago in San Bernardino, our country suffered the deadliest mass shooting since Sandy Hook. And the daily toll of gun violence tragedies that don't make the headlines continues unabated. With the seemingly endless stream of tragedy, it's tempting to become disheartened and hopeless. But by being here today, you're showing that we will fight to take back our country. We are in the majority who believe we can do better and know that together we can end gun violence. Congress may have failed to act in the months following Sandy Hook, but moms haven't. In fact, we've made significant progress across the country in the years that followed. Here are just a few of the things. I'm not going to go through all of our amazing accomplishments, but I'm going to give you some of the things that have happened in just the past 3 years. We've built a movement of over 3 million members with chapters in every state, including Hawaii and Alaska. We are everywhere. We've blocked the NRA's guns on campus bill in 15 states. 12 states, including Wisconsin, have enacted laws to keep the guns out of hands of domestic abusers. Most of these mass shootings are actually domestic violence cases. And in some of the other mass shootings, it started out as a domestic violence killing in the home, and then they left the home and went out and killed more innocent bystanders. So domestic violence is key here. And this year alone, we defeated the dangerous permitless carry bill, meaning you don't need a permit, just carry the gun and go everywhere you want. We defeated that in 15 states. Moms convinced 11 major businesses, including Starbucks, Target, Facebook, Chili's, I mean, I can go on, to adopt gun sense policies, meaning no guns in our stores or our restaurants. 6 states have passed laws to close the dangerous background check loopholes that exist, bringing the total number of states that require universal background checks for all gun sales to 18. And when background checks were on the ballots in the 2014 election in Washington State, more than 1.2 million voters came out and voted in support of background checks, proving that when legislators don't act, voters will. So what can you do? What can you do right now to help end gun violence? First and foremost, your vote. It's your most powerful tool out there. The majority of our legislators, their first priority is to ensure that they get reelected. Okay? We know this. But they need money and they need votes. Sure, the gun lobby has a lot of money. So do we. We've got Mayor Bloomberg. We're good. All right? But we also have the majority of the votes, okay? And as long as you vote in all elections, your community, like local elections, your state, your federal, get out there and vote and make sure you're voting for legislators who support common sense gun laws across the board. We all do this, we can end gun violence because we'll have common sense legislators in there for us. Your perseverance is also needed. Understand that passing legislation is the longest game in town, and you need to be in this fight for the long haul. Shannon Watts, the founder of Moms Demand Action, always says, "This is a marathon, not a sprint." It took the NRA decades to set up this sweet deal that they have in the Congress and in our state legislatures. Didn't happen overnight. No, it didn't happen overnight, and we're not going to fix it overnight. But we are going to fix it, and we can, again, end gun violence. I'm going to keep reiterating this, okay? It's a theme here. Another action, your time and your talent is needed in this fight. Please sign up. Please take a leadership role and help us build a grassroots movement in your community. I need one here in Madison, desperately. There's power in numbers, and we need to make certain that those who want common sense gun laws, are standing up and being counted. We are all volunteers. Karee and I and Linda, we all work, we have families, but we find the time for this. It's that important, and we need your help. So please, please, join us. Now, that's the end of my speech. I get the distinct honor of interviewing one of my favorite people. So, Karee Pennybaker wears many hats here in our organization. He is the communications lead, the social media lead. He's the Twitter god. He's the dad's ambassador, because guess what? Moms aren't just moms. There's dads, grandmas, grandpas, daughters, who comes with me. My daughter Carly comes with me almost everywhere. She's toured the country with me. She's marched with moms. She's called for moms. And she just turned 18. So thank you, Carly. And she's here today to actually photograph for us as well. But back to my Curry. Anyways, Curry is my better half. I could not do what I do without him. What you also need to know about this incredible person is he's a gun violence survivor. He's an outreach coordinator for our state and also around the country. He's everywhere. So please give my friend and the bravest man I know a warm welcome.
That was nice. She got me crying already. So before I start, I want to read the names of the victims from Sandy Hook. So if you wouldn't mind closing your eyes as I say these names. Rachel Devino, forever 29. Dawn Hawksbrum, forever 47. Anne-Marie Murphy, forever 52. Lauren Russo, forever 30. Mary Sherlock, forever 56. Vicki Lee Soto. Forever 27. Charlotte Bacon, forever 6. Daniel Barden, forever 7. Olivia Engel, forever 6. Josephine Gay, forever 7. Dylan Hockley, forever 6. Madeline Sue, forever 6. Catherine Hubbard, forever 6. Chase Kowalski, forever 7. Jesse Lewis, forever 6. Anna Marquez Green, forever 6. James Mattioli, forever 6. Grace McDonald, forever 7. Emily Parker, forever 6. Jack Pinto, forever 6. Noah Posner, forever 6. Caroline Praviti, forever 6. Jessica Rickles, forever 6. Aviel Richmond, forever 6. Benjamin Wheeler, forever 6. And Allison Wyatt, forever 6. Forever 6. My name is Curry Pennybaker, and I am a gun violence survivor. I have been a gun violence survivor my entire life. September 8th, 1979, my mother decided to take a drive, as she did a number of times throughout her adult life, just to simply clear her head. Except this time, she brought a gun. A month before, she had sat at the kitchen table with some of her closest friends and literally told them that she wanted to die. She told them, "I want to kill myself." But at no point at that night or the month after that did anyone think we need to make sure we get her gun from her. So that morning, September 8th, 1979, my mother killed the both of us. She pulled on the side of the road and put the revolver to her head and ended her life. I would not wish my life on anyone, not my worst enemy. You can't imagine the things I've had to go through just to get here today. I've been racked with grief, with unanswering questions that no one can give me a solid answer to, or one that's actually worth having a conversation about. I've had to constantly ask the question, why me? What did I do wrong? I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask to be born. I surely didn't ask my mother to put a gun to her head and shoot herself with it. What could possibly be wrong with me that my own mother doesn't want to be here anymore? How could that be the case? But it wasn't a case of, and in just about every case, my mother actually just wanted to die. She just didn't want to be in pain anymore. I wrote an op-ed for the Journal Sentinel on World Suicide Prevention Day, and the editor was kind enough to send a response back right away to our initial email and said, hey, I know the pain that Curry is feeling. Here's an article I want him to read. And it was about the terrorist attack on 9/11, where all of us saw those people jumping out of the building. Those people weren't jumping out of the building because they wanted to die. They jumped out of those buildings because they didn't want to be on fire anymore. My mother shot herself because she didn't want her brain to be on fire anymore. That was simply it. She needed help. But instead of getting help, she had easy access to a gun. And that's something I have to live with every single day. I have to survive that every single day. And I didn't ask for it. But I have no choice. There's nothing I'm going to say. There's no march I'm going to go to. There's no phone call I'm going to make that's going to pull the bullet out of her head that exploded all over that car. There's nothing. But what I can do is make sure I talk to as many people as possible so they don't make the same mistake my mother did, so you can make sure that you can make a difference so that the 88 people that die every day have a chance. It is up to us, the people. It's not your money. It's you. It's your votes, your voice, your feet, your fingers, everything. You can honestly make a difference so that those 88 people that die every single day don't die in vain, so that we can take it down to 80 and to 70, to 60, to zero, because we can end gun violence. Are any of you survivors of gun violence, or you know someone that's been affected by gun violence? I've been to some of these where the entire room raises their hand, which is heartbreaking. But those voices matter. In fact, a few years ago, there was a woman who was involved in a domestic violence dispute involving a gun. It took her 7 years to help pass a bill that is now the law here in Wisconsin that Governor Walker signed in 2014 that helps keep guns out of the hands of people who shouldn't have them. Survivor stories matter. They're heartbreaking. They make you cry. They're hard to hear. But these are the stories that we need to listen to. Because when you talk about gun violence, people usually talk in the abstract. They'll talk about statistics. They'll tell you about how there's 88 people that die every day. That's one every 16 minutes. There's a gun suicide almost every 25 minutes. That's every single day. But it's our stories and our voices that help make change come about. Because we know we don't have a choice. Our loved one isn't going to come back. But maybe if we fight hard enough, we can prevent the next tragedy from happening. There's a man that we work with. His name is Richard Martinez. His son was shot and killed in the Isla Vista mass shooting in 2014. And one of the things that he'll say just about every time he gets a chance to speak is that after the Sandy Hook mass shooting, he didn't do anything until it was his kid. Don't let that be you. Don't be complacent. And don't let tomorrow just be another day where you just watch TV and the day ends and you do nothing. Make sure they hear your voice. Make sure you get counted because you can make a difference. Do any of you feel that this is a hopeless and fruitless fight? Raise your hand. It's okay to be honest. We're all here to be honest. So raise your hand. Well, and I can appreciate that, and I'm not going to lie, I felt that way myself. Amongst the other feelings that I have to deal with, I do feel sometimes that this is hopeless or this is helpless. Until I remind myself that I have to give my mother a voice. Any chance I get to speak for her, I have to take it. Any politician I get to talk to tell her or him about my mom, I have to take it. So maybe when it's their turn to vote for common sense gun reform, they think about Joyce Pennybaker. to think about the 36 Christmases she missed. They think about the three kids of mine she'll never get to meet. They'll think about all my failures and all my successes that she never get to help me with. They'll think about the 36 birthdays she missed. The 36 Christmases, the 36 Thanksgivings that she missed. All of that. Maybe they'll think about it. But if I don't say anything, they don't care. They're not just going to do it just because they're, you know, decent people, right? They don't work that way, some of them. Some are bought and paid for, unfortunately. But I'm here to tell you we can take our country back, to make sure we have politicians who will vote for common sense gun reform that can honestly save people's lives. In the states that have universal background checks, the 18 that have it, there are 48% fewer gun suicides. There are 46% fewer shootings of women by either current or former husbands or boyfriends. There are 48% fewer cops that are shot and killed. In the states that have waiting periods, there are at least 50% fewer gun suicides in those states. And it's even better in the states that have longer waiting periods. Wisconsin had one for 40 years, and unfortunately, that law was repealed this past summer. But we are making sure we make every effort to bring that law back, because that law honestly saves people's lives as well. This is something we can honestly do. I wouldn't be standing here just to hear myself talk, although I do like to talk. But I believe in this with every ounce of my being. I believe that we can end gun violence. And I hope that all of you find some way, whether it's with your vote, whether you march, whether you show up and wear orange, whether you get on Twitter and tweet about how you think we can end gun violence, that you do something. Because it's on all of us. You can't leave it to the next person. Because the longer you wait, the more people will die every single day. Since Sandy Hook, there's been 90,000 people that have been shot and killed. 90,000. 90,000. And thousands of others who were shot and survived. This is not the America we want to live in. We do not have to live this way. And I refuse to accept this as being normal. I don't get complacent. I don't just feel numb when I hear another one of these stories. I cry just about every single time. I meet survivors all the time, and I have to hug mothers who had to bury children. That's heartbreaking. And I don't want to do it. It gets unbearable sometimes. I have to go home and cry and talk to my wife without being able to explain how I feel because it's that bad. But I fight because I know we can make a difference, and we have to. So what I'd like you to do, if you are able to stand, anyone able to not stand? Well, if you're able to stand, I'd like to do some chants with you. So there are going to be a series of chants that you're going to repeat after me. And what you're going to repeat is the phrase, "We stand today." And then at the last one, we have a pretty special one for you. For all the victims of gun violence, we stand. For all the survivors of gun violence, we stand today. For the communities ravaged by gun violence, we stand today. In defiance of the gun lobby, we stand today. To put our elected officials on notice, we stand today. With hope for our country, we stand today. To end gun violence,
we stand today.
Now this is the special one, so just repeat after me. We must.
We can.
We will.
We will.
End gun violence.
End gun violence.
We will end gun violence.
We will end gun violence.
Thank you.
I've heard Curry speak many times, and he moves me every time. His passion is contagious. So, thank you.
There are groups that do protest in front of the NRA headquarters in Virginia just about every day. But the important thing is the NRA is only one part of the issue. They happen to represent about 5 million members across the country, but yet there is a gun for every man, woman, and child in our country right now. It means they represent a very small minority of gun owners, and the majority of gun owners are responsible and they support what we believe in. Over 70% of all gun owners support universal background checks, so that tells you the message that the NRA is sending isn't actually working, except when it comes to our legislators. So that's where we need to protest.
Corrie and I might want to make a comment towards what you were saying about the gun sales. Jerry Bonavia, she's the founder and president of WAVE, the Wisconsin Anti-Violence Effort. And Linda works with the WAVE as well. She's like moms and WAVE and everything. She's really amazing. But Jerry pointed out to me the other night that the studies after these mass shootings and those horrible rise in gun sales, those aren't new gun owners going out and buying the guns. These are the same people time and time again who go and buy guns. They are not recruiting more people. Just gun hoarders going and hoarding more and more ammunition out of fear. It's a certain mindset that does that kind of purchasing. But these aren't like our Wisconsin hunters or people who have common sense when it comes to guns running out and hoarding more. It's a pretty specific group.
So I actually did an interview with Fox 6 in Milwaukee on Tuesday where she asked me about what our response was after Black Friday when we had record gun sales, including here in Wisconsin. I believe there were almost 2,000 guns sold on Black Friday. One of the things that I told her was that your story is rather unfortunate, or your lead for your story is unfortunate because the other part of that equation, so on one hand you have record gun sales. How many gun safes were sold? How many trigger locks were sold? Mm-hmm. That's the missed part about this conversation. We're not anti-gun, we're anti-gun violence. And we want to promote safe gun use and safe gun storage. So if people are just buying more guns with the idea that it's going to make them safer, that's not necessarily true. You actually have a 22 times more likely to shoot someone in your house or yourself than you do an assailant. So buying more guns only propagates the problem. It doesn't actually make our country safer. And the fact that we have people actually pushing that narrative is unfortunate because it leads to more death.
We do have a program. Moms isn't just legislation. We are education. And I put pamphlets out there. The program's called Be Smart. And Corrie and I have hosted house parties for Be Smart. Corrie's hooked up with the police department too. Be Smart is actually an acronym on how to promote gun safety in the home and keeping guns out of the hands of young children and teenagers. And so we do address that. You'll probably want to follow up with some more on that because the teen suicide is also there. But be sure to grab that brochure on the way out. And if you ever want to hold a Be Smart house party or have a Be Smart church event, we can do that. And it's basically giving you your talking points and giving you and empowering you when you go out and you have your children going for a play date to ask, do you have a gun in your home? And is it stored safely before your children go there? It's Corrie and I always use the same analogy. If your child had a severe peanut allergy, wouldn't you ask if there were peanuts in the home, or an allergy to animals? You would have to ask that. Guns are pretty about as dangerous as a peanut in a in a situation of an allergy. So feeling comfortable in making that ask is important. Part of the thing for me when I came onto Moms, it never occurred to me to ask that question. And now that I'm with Moms, it's on my mind. And I have family in the South, and they all own guns, and that's okay. But when my aunt moved in with my cousin, and she packed her gun in her box with all of her other things and moved in the bedroom with the three-year-old, I thought as we were eating at the dinner table, Holly, what'd you do with your gun? Oh, it's in storage at the warehouse. It's not here. And I looked at Janice's husband. I said, can you go check the boxes? Just for my sake, go check those boxes. Sure enough, sitting right on the top of the box was a loaded gun next to Amelia's bed. Of course, they were devastated to find that had happened. They unloaded it and did the proper storage. But if it wasn't for moms and this education piece, never would have occurred to me to ask that question. So just having this conversation is giving you the empowered part of being able to protect someone.
So the other thing is that every 36 hours, there's an unintentional child shooting. And there is about 2 million children that live in houses where you have unsafely stored firearms. You're just asking for trouble. And again, if you want to own a gun, that is completely okay, as long as you can pass a background check. But then when you bring that gun home, you need to make sure it's stored safely so that a young person or a distressed teenager can't have access to it. I wrote an article about a young boy. His name is Eric Gutierrez. He was 11 years old. He went over to his 14-year-old's friend's house. The 14-year-old's dad had over 20 loaded and unsecured firearms stored throughout the house, including in the 14-year-old's bedroom. The two boys went out behind the garage and were playing. I believe it was Cops and Robbers. Happened to be with a loaded gun. The 14-year-old ends up shooting the 11-year-old in the head, killing him. Guess how much time that father spent in jail? Not a minute. So when you hear stuff like, you know, there's record gun sales, or there's tens of thousands of rounds of ammunition per every individual, how safe are we? There's 88 people that die every single day. Buying more guns has not made us safer yet. And again, it's okay to own one. But it's the responsible people that need to join us to make a difference. Because there's that vocal minority that's gonna always be rabid, they're gonna always call and be nasty, and show up armed and ready to kill at will, unfortunately.
They showed up at our march yesterday.
Yes. But they are a vocal minority. We are the majority. We are the ones with enough sense to stand up and say, we don't have to live like this. An 11-year-old boy should not be playing with a gun, nor should a 14-year-old boy. That is not okay. Just the other day, I believe it was actually just last night, a deputy left his loaded and unsecured 9mm on the bedstand. His 3-year-old shot and killed himself. Did that cop's gun make that 3-year-old safer? That was just one gun, not 300 plus million, just one gun. A bullet has no rhyme or reason why it's going to hit someone. It doesn't care. It doesn't care if you're black or white, young or old, rich or poor, Republican or Democrat. It is about as apolitical as you can get. It literally does not care. Its job is to destroy, which makes you realize responsible people have to help make this change. Responsible.
Oh, I can speak to that a little bit. I joined WAVE, which is the Wisconsin Anti-Violence Effort, and we've just started a Madison group. We meet once a month, and we focus on what right here in Wisconsin we can do. And in with your program, I put a list of some of the bills that we're looking at and that we are tirelessly lobbying for. And I like working with moms, which is a very, you know, they're looking at a broader picture, a national picture, which is great. I also like working locally. I want to be down there. I want to make the calls. I want to be working for my community too. So if you're interested with WAVE, look up on their website and see when and where we're having our next meetings. We would love to have you join that, and also moms.
Because Linda didn't just do WAVE, and she does moms and WAVE, because the federal law supersedes the state. We work at the federal level, we work at the state. We're all volunteers, just like you, and I didn't know what to do. I joined, and they gave me actions, but I had to take a leadership role, and I had to be able to do the work of that. We need a leader here. Madison to help us build a group.
Well,
to answer your question specifically, so a day after the San Bernardino mass shooting that happened almost 2 weeks ago, the very next day, our esteemed U.S. Senate voted down closing the terror gap, which allows people who are on the no-fly list to still buy guns. A lot of people don't even know that exists. And they also voted down expanding universal background checks. So the way you can actually make specific change and actually play a part in making a difference is calling, both at the federal level and at the local level. So between the efforts between MOMS and WAVE, we can accomplish that. So here in Wisconsin, there are five common sense gun reforms that have been filed. One deals with restoring the 48-hour cooling off period law that was repealed in June. Another is the Families Know First Law, which is essentially a gun violence restraining order law that allows a family member to petition to have guns, temporarily removed from the house of someone who may be averse to risk temporarily. So all of that is on the sheet there. And there's a number of other ones that are up for possible votes. The unfortunate thing is many of these common sense gun reforms here in Wisconsin may not actually get out of committee because we have an all-Republican legislation. Again, I'm not talking politics necessarily, but because they have an all-Republican legislature, common sense gun reform laws have not been really brought to the floor. In fact, some of these laws or some of these bills actually may not actually come for a public testimony. But the way we change that is by you getting on the phone and calling, because they actually record who calls for or in opposition for a particular bill. And the more calls we get to go into those legislators that are for supporting some of these bills, the better chance we have of getting them out of committee and having a public testimony so people like me and others can come out and speak. People like you who want to come out and speak who may not be a survivor and say, I just want to make a difference to end gun violence. So those are some of the specific things you can actually do. So there are currently 18 states that have universal background checks, but the efficacy of those laws in those states are only as good as the surrounding states around them. So if you have states that have good common sense gun laws, but are surrounded by states that have bad ones, it essentially, in a way, nullifies how good some of those laws may be. So people always throw out, when you talk about gun reform, they'll say, well, what about Chicago? Illinois has some of the strictest gun laws around. Illinois is surrounded by states that have very lax gun laws. It's within Chicago, for example, is within 30 minutes of Indiana, where they can go across the border, buy a gun relatively easily, and bring it back into Chicago. Milwaukee was no different. Badger Guns and Ammo would oftentimes sell guns that ended up in Chicago. In fact, in 2005, Badger Guns and Ammo, which is located in West Allis, Wisconsin, was the number one dealer for crime guns in the country. So again, if you have a state that is smart enough to pass common sense gun reform, the surrounding states can impede their success by reducing their common sense gun reform. So if you look at from the federal level, if we have universal background checks, that would apply to the entire country. So that way you couldn't have a state like Indiana expand gun rights and reduce gun laws that will keep guns out of the hands of people who shouldn't have them.
Through conversation and knowing your facts and knowing how to have these conversations without calling somebody an idiot or demeaning them in some way, which just lights a fire and ends the debate right there. Everytown.org, if you go to that on your computer, there's a learn button. If you click that, wonderful information, talking points, a lot of the numbers and percentages that Korea has been stating here are listed there on that site to help you have these common sense discussions with people who are basically spewing NRA propaganda and not really getting the picture. Do you think I turned around my family in Kentucky? You better believe I did. They're no longer NRA members and they're locking their guns up. But you have to be able to, one, have the conversation, do it with your family, your friends, your neighbors, and let it spread that way. And that's probably why your family member changed their tune after seeing some of the facts that are actually out there. Moms doesn't lie. We really do the research. Everything we say is based on solid data so that you have something to use when you're having these discussions around gun violence. And no, we don't just preach to the choir, do we?
No. So I've had conversations that are far more difficult than this one, where, you know, it's easier when you're talking to people who agree with you. It's much more difficult to talk to someone who doesn't. But the thing is, you have to find a place where you can have common ground. And, for example, the most comprehensive way of reducing gun violence is universal background checks. 70% or more than 70% of gun owners and actually NRA members support universal background checks. So if you can find something that they find is going to be acceptable in some ways, we also make sure we use the right verbiage. So we hardly ever say gun control. We'll say either common sense gun reform or gun sense or something like that, because the word gun control has such a negative connotation now because our opposition has done a good job in their messaging. There's some words that just make people retreat to their corner. But if you talk to people in an honest and decent way and have just a regular conversation, no different than what we're having right now, we can honestly change hearts and minds. But part of that starts with your legislator. That's who we need to start convincing, because the population already does in the majority sense. It's the politicians that need to make sure that they hear, and their heart and mind doesn't matter. They have to vote with the public.
There was one story that I found where the family followed the young boy, who's now an adult, who fired that weapon. The fallout of the family, mom and dad splitting, child going through life with that horrible guilt and feeling that the father could never face him or love him again. And they talk about that. It's a devastating story. So yes, they do live with it. It destroys not just that young life, it destroys a whole family. And the young child that fires that gun, if you think that they don't have to live with that, this man that told the story was in his 30s and he's still living with it. They are being interviewed, they're in magazines and on the news, so they are. Mm-hmm. They are. Korea is very public out there, and he is working with survivors and people and getting those stories out there for everyone. So I'm sure he could share more, but yes, those stories are there.
We thank you. Lisa's heading up a campaign on campus to prevent guns on campus in our classrooms. Thank you all for coming. Please extend a hand of friendship to those around you. Please stay and enjoy some coffee, talk to our guests. And we want a picture. If anybody can stay, come up here. We want you to hold up some signs. This is a national event that you're a part of today. So we'd appreciate that. And there are also handouts and other pins and things out on the front table there too, so please help yourselves. Thank you.